Well, good morning again. If you missed it earlier, my name's Keith, and maybe that whole palm thing, maybe that was not something you understood, really, but I think you will as this message unfolds a little bit, if that's you, and that's okay. But with that, you know, I wanted to start with this morning. I'm betting that most of us, okay, most of us have probably been a part of something that was intentionally scripted, or you could say planned, okay? You know, maybe for you, maybe you took part in a play at some point in your life, maybe when you were in school, or maybe even after school, you know, with the Springville Players or the Center for the Arts here in town being so active in our community, or maybe, and I have experienced this, so maybe you were in the band or the orchestra in school, right? And everything was what? It was carefully, what's the word? Orchestrated, wasn't it? It was carefully orchestrated to produce a pleasing and the desired outcome and result. Or maybe for you, maybe, you know, you've been part of a sports team, right? That had some plays that were scripts, weren't they? That's what they were. They were scripts to follow in hopes of success, in hopes of accomplishing a goal, if you will. Point being, scripts, okay, they are really everywhere in life. These plans that are put together to collaborate toward an end goal. I mean, even this church service has been carefully planned. We have a God-led service order that guides us through it while leaving the window open for the Holy Spirit to move. So let it be known, okay? With that said, let it be known that God, did you know God? He has a plan. He has a script too. A plan or a script that he has been working, and it is one that we, in fact, you and I, we find ourselves in the middle of this script, which is what here and now this sermon series is. It is not there and then, right, or of the past, the time of the past, you know, maybe the time of creation or God's original covenant with the Israelite people. We aren't in that time, right? And we aren't in the times where Jesus roams the earth physically in human form. But we are also aren't in the times of there and then of the future, are we? You know that. We are not at a time that is coming where Jesus returns and sets everything right, which leaves us where? It leaves us here and now. That's where we live, in the here and now. And so in this series, we've been exploring and we've in fact been challenging ourselves regarding what it means to live, okay, as a fully active and a growing citizen in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven here and now. And so with that, we continue that today in week 6 of the series. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21. You can get there now in your Bible or on your Bible app, but know that the scriptures, they will be on the screen as well. But if you ever need a Bible, because I'm telling you what, you better be in this baby the other 6 days of the week, okay? So if you ever need a Bible, we always have them free at our Connection Center in the back. But with that, I want to open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the specifics of today's message, okay? Deal? Deal. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you once again for this opportunity to gather, Lord, and to just worship you and give you the worship that you're due, and also to worship you by hearing what you have for us and receiving what you have for us, because you are concerned with our lives. You have a personal concern with each and every one of us, and you, Lord, you want to speak into that today. So I pray that we would just surrender this time to you as we dig into your word, and Lord, that we would receive what you see fitting, and that we would act on what we receive. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so 700 to 800 years before the angel of the Lord appeared to a virgin named Mary who gave birth to Jesus, Isaiah, a prophet, he received a picture from God, okay, of a time when he, God, the king of the universe, would enter human history as a person, okay? So with that, listen to this verse of one calling, okay? It's found in Isaiah 40, verse 3 in the Bible, and this isn't going to be on the screen, but listen to this voice of one calling, okay? Isaiah 40, verse 3. In the wilderness calls the voice, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged place a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I love that last statement because the mouth of the Lord has spoken some 700 to 800 years before Jesus. And we're going to see how that unfolds because when the mouth of the Lord speaks, it becomes truth, you see. And so then some 700 to 800 years later, according to plan, okay, according to God's plan, the Virgin Mary conceives and gives birth to a son. And he is called what, church? Do you know what he's called? You hear it every Christmas season. If you're in church, he is called Emmanuel, right? Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this plan or this script, this rescue plan of God calls for God in the form of God the Son, Jesus, to take on human flesh, fulfilling things according to God's revealed Old Testament plan. And then, once again, according to plan, John the Baptizer is the voice of this one that Isaiah 40 speaks about. This one in the wilderness, right, preparing the way for the Lord. And John does so. He prepares the way by calling people to what? To repentance. He prepares the way for the Lord by calling people to repentance. This agreement with God that one is a sinner and that one is not right in their own merits when it comes to the only definition of right that matters, which is God's definition of right. And so then, once again, according to plan, Jesus preaches good news, right? He preaches good news to the poor. He binds up the brokenhearted. He proclaims freedom, church, to the captives. And the lame walk and the blind see and the dead are raised. And then once again, according to plan, Jesus tells his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He must go to Jerusalem and stir up the hornet's nest, only to suffer many things, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. For he is, church, he is the suffering servant foretold to us by Isaiah. And so as we witness it a second by reading the account of his entry into Jerusalem today as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew in his narrative, I want you to see as we look at this, see if it doesn't seem scripted, okay? Like a piece in an overall plan. Matthew 21, starting in verse 1. God's word says this. As they, Jesus and his disciples, approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Listen, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter Zion, see your king? Your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Now, Matthew here, he takes pains to show us, okay, that though the disciples may have thought that things were spinning out of control, especially in this final trip to Jerusalem, that there was a plan. There was a plan for Jesus' mission from beginning to end. And Jesus himself knew this plan, okay, and patiently and faithfully and even painfully followed the plan right to the very end. And when you and I, when we think about this entry into Jerusalem as the beginning of Passover week, okay, when thousands have come to the city to celebrate this feast, well, it seems scripted, doesn't it? I mean, the Savior, okay, think about it. for the Savior to make his final and most important statement when the city is packed seems kind of scripted to me. It's kind of like how word has it that many people are going to be converging on the Western New York area this coming Monday for the solar eclipse. It's a great opportunity to get a message out to a big crowd, right? So Jesus entering the bustling city for his final week of life as a human, only to perform his greatest and our most needed miracle, his resurrection, conquering sin and death. It seems, and it is planned, church. It is scripted. It was according to plan all along. God has never been surprised by your sin or mine. He's never been surprised. He is only by your or my refusal to repent and to receive Jesus and to live free and to live for him. Even as we read what was to be said to the person who owned the donkey and the colt, that was all anticipated, right? And what was the purpose? What was the goal of God's plan here? Well, again, it was a rescue operation. A rescue operation. Jesus entered enemy territory. Jesus took on human flesh. He proclaimed and he demonstrated the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Because as Jesus, as he enters Jerusalem to celebrate this Passover feast, a Jewish holiday to remember and to commemorate the end of their slavery for the Old Testament Israelites at the hands of the Egyptians, and thus their exodus from captivity to freedom. Well, as Jesus does this, okay, as he enters then, the city then, he comes to be the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins and the bondage of sin that people of the world are entrenched in before receiving and before walking with Christ. And so once again, it all happens, you see. It all happens according to plan. And so, church, at each step of this journey, at each step of this journey toward Easter, it is good for us to remember something. It is good for us to remember that he fulfilled this plan to rescue us for our benefit, to set us free from sin, to set us free from death. And with that said, in a real sense, we are with him. We're with him every step of the way during his journey into Jerusalem. We're with him in a very real sense every step of his journey to the cross. And ultimately, we are with him in a very real sense every step of the journey ultimately out of the grave. Because his purpose is us. His purpose is you. Our and your redemption, our and your personal future hangs in the balance. Your eternity and mine hangs in the balance in this moment. Meaning that if Jesus bows out of the mission, aka if he goes off script, if at any point he does that, the story of Jesus and the Bible, do you know what? They end without hope. They end without hope. And we are without hope if he goes off script, stuck in our sins, stuck in the consequences of our sins, with the primary one being eternal separation from God. And notice that the prophet Isaiah says, it was talked in Matthew 21 in our reading, that we had this story of the donkey and the colt. It took place to fulfill what Zechariah the prophet said. That's where that comes from, which was partially and important to us today, this. Zechariah said, see, your king comes to you. Your king comes to you. He's after you. He's after me out of love. He comes to you. So Jesus, in the scene we're looking at today, he is about to enter Jerusalem as a king would. And the reception he receives is that of a conquering general. So, he is the king. He is the king of this kingdom. He is the king of this kingdom that we're talking about, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Both here and now, he is the king. Here and now, and he is the king there and then. And thus, Holy Week, which begins today, with this day, Palm Sunday, it begins with what we're reading about, which is called the triumphal entry. So let's pick up and keep reading in verse 7. Let's keep reading this narrative. God's word says this. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd had spread their cloaks on the road, while others caught branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. Let's just pause there. Isn't that a great word? Stirred. You can almost feel that word, can't you? Something being agitated, something being mixed up. And so stirred, the people asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now with that, what elements of this story, what elements point to Jesus as king? Well, for one, Jesus rides into Jerusalem, doesn't he? Now, if we've got any Bible scholars out there, answer this. Did Jesus typically tend to ride during his earthly ministry? No, right? He never rides. He what? He always walks. He always walks. So this is different. This is different. Take notice of that, church. An earthly king doesn't walk into his kingdom, and neither did your heavenly one on that day. And he didn't to fulfill prophecy, okay? And to make a statement, and apparently to make a stir. Something big was amiss, okay? And so besides riding in, he enters the city to what? To great fanfare, doesn't he? Like a what? Again, like a conquering general. Like a victorious king. He is seen riding in on a wave of popularity there among the crowds, many of whom have heard him teach, right? Teach with what? Authority. They've heard him teach with authority. They've seen him do miracles. Some have even eaten the miracle bread. Think about the feeding of the 4,000 and 5,000. And I want you to just know that the people, they also recite from the Old Testament book of Psalms. Psalms 118, as they proclaim their accolades to the king, they shout, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David." Making this clear and messianic cry. A clear and messianic cry and an exclamation referring to the calling to and the calling for the Savior. The one who will deliver another from hardship. The one who will deliver another from oppression. They cry this as he's walking in. Which is who Jesus the King proves to what? To spiritually be. That's what he proves to be spiritually, which it leads us to an interesting question, okay? It leads us to an apropos question, still to this day, meaning it is a question that we must ask, that we must wrestle with to this day. And the question is this, church, did the people and do you and I as the people, do we believe and do we hope that Jesus was truly the long-awaited Messiah? Do we? Now, in our Matthew 21 scene, some people probably did hope just that, okay? And still today, some people will probably hope just that. They hope just that, but maybe are not completely sure. Maybe this is where you live today. Maybe that's where you live this morning. You hope that's true, but you're just not completely sure. Into that, I would say this. First of all, think about all the Old Testament prophecy that we're talking about, and there's way more. But think about this. Jesus taught, okay? And when he taught, he did not quote famous rabbis. He had original material. And he spoke just so directly, again, with such authority. And he commanded demons to come out, and they did. and he healed the lame and he healed the blind. So again, based on the evidence, some in this scene, they probably did hope that Jesus was the long-promised Messiah, but they were just not sure. Some doubts just kept holding them back, right? So that's some that were in this crowd, and there were probably some others in the scene that just got really caught up in the moment. In fact, the disciples, they kind of got caught up in the moment. For it seemed like at any minute, any moment that Jesus, it seemed like he could just hold up his hand and he could say, now, the hour has come. Now the hour has come. While Jerusalem was filled with faithful Jews from all over, it felt like he could just raise his hand and say, now is the time. It's the time to take up arms. It's the time to throw out the Romans out of our promised land, proving to be an earthly and a military king. And you know what? We can relate to this too. We can wrestle with this too today in our own personal relationship with Jesus. Because I don't know about for you, but have you ever been tempted to want to define what kind of king he is? Have you ever been tempted to tell him or to expect him to be the kind of king that you think you need, that you think you want, that you think you want him to be? You ever felt that? Or have you ever found yourself all caught up in the emotional response to God? Maybe even in a worship service. Or maybe when things just seem like they're really just clicking. Everything's going your way. So you're on this high emotionally with God. But as soon as some things get a little bit challenging, as soon as the music stops, maybe you struggle, right? I'm just telling you, that might be rooted. It might be rooted in not really understanding the kind of king that this king is. And I'm telling you what, this is why in our Begin class, the Foundations of Our Faith class, we emphasize something in that class. And that is this, that the facts of Scripture and what they reveal about God and us, humanity, they need to drive the train of our life, including our faith life, which is to be the very center of our life. And that faith in the facts of these scriptures, they influence and they help us to process our feelings and not the other way around. The feelings are the caboose. The facts drive the train. Faith connects them. Emotions or feelings are not to be the main impact on our faith. And this is also why, as Revive, Scripture is what? It's our number one value. It is the filter through which everything runs, because make no mistake about it, this is why, because he is the king. He's the king. And part of why we celebrate Palm Sunday is because we believe, many of us believe, that Jesus is the king. And he, Jesus, do you know what? He created the world. He created the world with God the Father and God the Spirit. So he is king by the right of creation. And in fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in his writing in the book of Colossians, it's chapter 1, I think verses 15 to 17, he tells us this, that in him, in Christ, all things hold together. In Christ, all things hold together. So church, as we watch Jesus enter into the city, to the shouts of praise from the people who are looking for the Messiah, we have to ask, what kind of king is he? What kind of king is he, right? Because as it turned out, he was not the king they expected. He wasn't. I mean, there never came a moment when he said now. When he said now is the time that we throw the Romans out. And he never picked up a sword. So again, he was not the king they expected. But he was for sure, hear me now, he was the king that they needed. Because instead of only addressing the need of the hour, he addressed the need of all time, church, making him not only the king they needed, but the king that we need too, and that all humanity needs too. And think about it, through his mission and according to the plan that he stuck to, instead of only helping those people, he helped all people, didn't he? And instead of treating symptoms, he treated the cause, the cause of all that ails us. For he went to the root of all human oppression. He went to the root of all human suffering, which is sin. It's human sin. And instead of picking up a sword, he carried what? He carried a cross, church. So Jesus, according to plan, he fulfilled the prophecy we see and have of the suffering servant that we read about also through the God-ordained words from the prophet Isaiah, something foreshadowing what this week, this holy week would hold for Jesus. Listen to what God said from Isaiah in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Do you see how we're with him every step of this journey? We all, like sheep, we have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he had suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Hallelujah is right. That's your king. That's your Jesus. That's my king. He went there for me and for you. So according to plan, church, according to plan, Jesus, again, he became the suffering servant that Isaiah spoke of some 700 to 800 years before Jesus came to earth. And Jesus, don't miss it, he was not the kind of king they wanted. He didn't solve their Roman problem. He didn't fix their politics, and he didn't pick up a sword. He picked up a cross, church, and he asks all of mankind to follow him in that and to do the same and to pick up their cross and follow him. He wasn't the king they wanted, but he was the king they needed, and he is the king that we need. And again, sometimes guilty is charged, okay? Guilty is charged. We wish that Jesus would be the king that we want and that he would fix our earthly problems and that he would always heal our earthly bodies and that he would change our everyday physical lives. And or we wish that he would always fix our family members, right? And he can, he could. Scripture proclaims that, but sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he doesn't. Leaving us sometimes to be, and I've been there, so frustrated by what Jesus doesn't do or what he hasn't done. But sometimes we get to that point and we forget something. We forget what he did. We forget what he did, which what he did is amazing. Conquering sin, conquering death, conquering its eternal impact. So he is the king that we need, church. And like a doctor that doesn't just treat our symptoms, Jesus, again, he addresses the cause of our symptoms, human sin. And you know what? God's plan includes you. It includes you and it includes me. Praise God for that. He knew, church, he knew that you would need someone to rescue you. He knew you would need someone to rescue you from yourself and from your sin. So, church, while Jesus may not be the king you expected or the king that you even want, he is surely, I proclaim to you today, he's the king you need. He's the king I need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, beginning our holy week, the journey to your death, but then the greatest miracle of all that you foretold, that was foretold about you, that you would rise again, conquering sin and death. So, Lord, as we enter this final week to prepare our hearts for Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, I pray that we would have these moments where we just realize that in a very real sense, we can walk that journey with you because you were thinking about us. You were thinking about the salvation we would need. You were thinking about the rescue plan we would need. And I say it a lot, but it's so powerful. Your word says in the book of Hebrews that for the joy set before you, you went to that cross. And that joy was us, each person in each one of these seats. So, Lord, would we be ministered to in a way that only you could do, where we let go of any distrust and we just have a deeper and a full and assurance of faith in you. If we struggle with that, if we hope you're the Messiah but aren't quite sure, if we have doubts, Lord, would you minister to us in that? Because you're not afraid of that. You want to meet us right in that spot as we confess that, and you will show us the truth. And you will show us that you are the truth, the way, and the life. And Lord, would we be a people that allow facts, not feelings, not emotions, to drive the train of our life, including our faith life, which is to be the center of our life? We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.